Are you ready? Okay. So we need the pulpit mic on. What happens if the pulpit mic is left on over at 2:06? Okay, you've just left it on. We're not going to try to
do you want me to turn it off?
No, we'll just leave it on the whole service if it's a problem. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a choir.
Hey, you can do something.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we're not on time. Right. Good. So, Jerry, you're ready.
You were working hard, so I was like, oh, let's see if I can see you and catch your eye. But you were working hard, so I was like, I'll see you later. You look like you were doing a lot of hard work. Like, we just do the eye. I'll see you later. I'll tell her.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Priory Park Baptist Church. We're very glad to be here, and we want to wish you a Merry Christmas. We're glad that you could join us. We actually have two churches combining here, which is wonderful. We have Priory Park Baptist Church, and we have Guelph Community Christian Church, a Chinese language church that shares our space with us, and we're very glad that we could combine. Last year, we started that because Christmas Eve was on a Sunday when they would normally have their service. And so we were happy to extend that, make that the beginning of a tradition here at Priory. So welcome to all of our guests. I know some people are here, you're here because it's Christmas Eve. You're not normally part of either congregation. And we want to extend a special welcome to you as well. There's something wonderful when a variety of people who don't have the same background get together for church. We're bearing witness to the fact that the God who unites us is greater than all of the other differences that separate us. And so when we gather together to respond to God, as we are doing tonight, it's a wonderful testimony to God's uniting power. So thank you for joining us this evening. Thank you to our guests and visitors. We're very glad you're here. If you haven't been here before, just so you know, the washrooms go down that hallway and turn right, and the washrooms are down there. Also, there is not a kids program this evening. Kids are staying with us for the service. On your way in, you were handed a candle. If you have a child, you, as the parent, guardian, responsible adult, choose whether or not your child gets a real flame candle or a battery-operated candle. If you wanted them to have a battery-operated candle and you didn't get one, if you could make sure you get one before the end.
Just raise their hand.
Yeah, raise your hand if you wanted a battery-operated candle for your little one. If they have a real flame candle, you are responsible for them. And as much as I joke that we would like the insurance money to rebuild this church, if it ever were to burn down, we'd rather that not be tonight with 100 people in the building. So we'll let you self-regulate about the battery-operated candle versus the real candle, and we'll have more instruction on the real candle at the end of the service when that time comes. I'm going to ask my family if they would join me at the front as we light the Advent candle. Okay. We light the candles of hope, love, joy, and peace. Maybe the last Christmas for this barbecue lighter. Oh, yes. Well, while we're doing that, I'll introduce this to my wife, Mimi, and my daughter, Megan.
And I'm going to read Luke 2:9-11. After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped up over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
You like the Christ candle.
Please all stand with me for the responsive reading. You'll read the part that's in the dark, which is the response, and I'll read the part of the call. This one's called Waiting for the Messiah, responsive reading. Who will come in the fullness of time for our hearts to mend? Who shall bring great joy to the world and the poor and lonely defend?
O come, Emmanuel, shall come to you, O Israel.
One promise from Eve's womb, to crush Satan's head. To Abraham one promise, to bless all nations if the same.
O come, Emmanuel, shall come to you, O Israel.
Offering for King David, the shepherd of his people, to be born in Bethlehem, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Rod of Jesse's stem.
O come, Emmanuel, shall come to you, O Israel.
For hundreds of years, Israel mourns and in exile waits for the promised deliverer and the glorious Jewish state.
O come, Emmanuel. Shall come to you, O Israel.
A virgin will give birth to a child. She will give birth to a son. Emmanuel, which means God with us, is only begotten one.
O come, Emmanuel, shall come to you, O Israel.
Thank you.
Yeah. tidings be, which inspire your heavenly with song. Amen.
thank you all for joining us tonight. They're joining us to bear witness to the miraculous intervention of God in our world that first Christmas. It's been a wonderful service. It's been a beautiful atmosphere and beautiful music, and that can create a very powerful effect. And thank you for joining us to be part of that. Christmas is tomorrow. Let me ask, as Christmas is coming, do you associate that with the fact that you are dearly loved? Because that's actually what Christmas is about. Christmas is about you and me being deeply loved, not necessarily by one another, but by God. We say, keep Christ in Christmas, right? Sometimes we're concerned about the materialism that comes and the commercialism around Christmas, and we say, keep Christ in Christmas, but sometimes we don't realize what that means. Keeping the Christ in Christmas actually means keeping the Christ-like, self-giving love in Christmas. You being here tonight is actually an important component in keeping Christ in Christmas. We are here to worship God for sending Jesus. We are here to worship the Son of God for coming to rescue us. We worship Jesus for emptying himself of all of his divine power and glory and coming to earth as a helpless baby. Wrong from the GCCC, read from Philippians 2. We actually didn't coordinate that ahead of time, but we're listening to the same coach. And in that passage in Philippians 2, it's a famous passage that talks about how Jesus, who was in his very nature God, didn't consider that something to be grasped or clutched or hung on to, but instead emptied himself, making himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a man or even the very nature of a slave. All of that because he loves you and wanted to rescue you. Worship, though, is more than just singing songs. Worship is actually much broader than that, and worship is our appropriate response to who God is and what he has done, and that response can take many forms, including music, but not limited to music. So we just heard from Dylan, we heard the story of Christ's birth as recorded in Luke chapter 2. When my family and I lit the candle, we heard a bit from Matthew. My wife read from Matthew about the wise men, the magi, the ones who came from the east. And I want to consider for a moment, hopefully these stories are familiar enough to you from hearing them year after year. How did these different people respond to God and respond to what God had done? How did Mary and Joseph respond to God? How did they respond to what he said he was going to do through them? Mary, when confronted by the angel Gabriel, she was confused, but she responded with humble obedience. She said, I am the Lord's servant, let it be as you have said. Joseph responded with obedience when his fiancée became with child and he wasn't involved, he obeyed the angel in his dream and took her as his wife and adopted the son as his own. He responded in obedience. For both of them, Mary and Joseph, these are acts of worship. These are responses to God. And so they are acts of worship. Our text tonight that Dylan read for us, the shepherds responded to the news from the angels. Well, first, the angel proclaimed what God had done. Unto you this day is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Then the angel gave evidence. He said, a sign will be to you that you will go and find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. So he gave testimony to what God was doing. He gave evidence that what God is doing is true. And how did the shepherds respond? Did they say, well, you know, that's good for them. Well, to each his own. Well, isn't that interesting news? I've got sheep to look after. Of course not. They went to investigate. They went to see this marvelous thing. They investigated. Their investigation was an act of worship. They were responding to what God had done by going to see for themselves. And when they saw that what God said he would do, he had actually done, when they saw the evidence was true, then they spread word about what they had seen. They spread word about their experience, telling everyone the marvelous things that they had experienced. And they praised God and glorified him as they went on their way back to work or back home to their families. They kept glorifying God. What did the wise men do in Matthew? when they witnessed what God had done after following the star. So first they pursued. They pursued God by following the star. But then when they found the one who had been born, they bowed down, they worshipped him, and they gave him expensive gifts. They gave to him sacrificially out of their own resources. And those gifts, if you think about it, came in handy for Mary and Joseph, because if you keep reading in Matthew, they had to flee to Egypt because Herod was threatened and angry. So Mary and Joseph were not from Bethlehem. They had gone on a trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem and then left from Bethlehem to Egypt. They had to start life new. So that gold, frankincense, and myrrh came in very handy for that refugee family fleeing to Egypt and having to live there for several years until they could go home. But the wise men themselves, Matthew says that they went home a different way. And there's actually a play on words there. They went home by a different route so that they wouldn't have to see Herod, but it also means they went home changed. They went home in a different way than they had come. They were personally transformed by their experience of what God had done. And I'm sure as they went home, they told others about their experience. And all of this broad response, all of this is worship. All of this is a response to who God is and what God has done. And so in light of this broader understanding of worship, that it's not just singing songs, it's not just saying a prayer, I want to issue you a challenge this Christmas Eve. That is keeping the Christ in Christmas. I want you to broaden your worship from this place. I want you to broaden your worship beyond singing Christmas songs as you respond to who God is and what God has done in the world and in your life. You know, in the Old Testament, Israel is repeatedly criticized by God's prophets because they got worship wrong. They did it right in the temple. They said the right words. They sang the right songs. They gave the right offering. But as soon as they left the temple, they got it wrong. Because the worship, the response to God in the temple, hadn't taken root in their heart. And so the prophets would come and say, yeah, you're getting it right in the temple, but you're not taking care of the poor. You're not taking care of the marginalized. There is no justice in the land. You are greedy. You are gossiping. You are taking advantage of people. You're worshiping right when you're all together for worship, but as soon as you leave that place, you're getting it wrong. And so I want to challenge us to make sure that if we get it right here, that when we leave this place, we don't get it wrong. But that we take the worship that we respond to God with here will take root in our heart. I want to ask you, do you have any grievances with people? You know, a lot of us are going to see family in the next couple of days, and not all of us have the best relationships with all of the members of our family. Do you have any rifts in relationships in your family? Christmas is actually the perfect time to reconcile. Because that is what Christmas is about. Because of God's self-giving love, he sent his one and only Son into the world so that whoever believes in him will not be separated from God, but will be reconciled to him in intimacy forever. Have you been reconciled to God by Jesus? If so, let me encourage you then to continue to respond to God's reconciliation by being reconciled to others. Now, maybe you don't have any broken relationships right now, and that's fantastic. Good, but let me challenge you to continue your worship, your response to God, when you leave here too. Let me encourage you to continue to respond to God by showing fruit of the Spirit in the relationships that you have. Be patient with people over the holidays. When things go wrong and the food is burned or the gift isn't right or the reaction is wrong or something gets spilled or whatever that might be patient. When you're stuck in traffic, be patient. That's it. But over the next couple days, be faithful, be gentle, exercise self-control, and be filled with peace as your response to what God did on that first Christmas Day 2,000 years ago and in your heart all ever since. Now, this is a huge challenge, right? This is not easy to do, especially if you have reconciling to do. This takes courage, right? It takes strength. And so where do you find that courage? Where do you find that strength to be patient and kind and gentle in the Christmas season? Well, that is a case where I think we need to look to the baby in the manger. He is God's Son. He chose to give up the glory of heaven. He emptied himself and took on the very nature of a slave as that little baby in the manger to rescue us. If you look in the manger, that is no ordinary baby. That is the self-emptying, self-giving God the Son here for you. He would grow up to say, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you. He has given so much to you. So take courage in that little baby who didn't start as a baby, but started as the fully conscious second person of the Trinity who chose to become that baby. And that baby represents so much self-sacrifice. Respond in courage to the love that that little baby has shown you. Respond to God for what he has done for you in sending his son. Worship God. Respond by loving one another, even if you don't like them. Worship God by reconciling one with another, even if they haven't apologized. Being patient with one another, gentle with one another, self-controlled with one another, and tell one another what God has done for you. Tell them what you have seen, just as the shepherds told people what they had seen. Respond to what God has done by telling people, glorifying him, praising him, and going home a different way.
Please stand and we will sing this one of my favorite carols, Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is found.
Let us stop.
the second coming. Who will come in the fullness of time for our hearts to hear? Who shall bring great joy to the world and the poor and lonely defend?
O come, O come, Emmanuel, shall come to us with time at all.
Emmanuel came to earth in a way not expected, and as Isaiah prophesied, he was rejected.
O come, Emmanuel, shall come to us with time at all.
He suffered and was crucified and paid the debt in our stead. And then on the third day, Christ Jesus rose victorious from the dead.
O come, Emmanuel, shall come to us with time at all.
He ascended to heaven, but has promised to return. He gave us his Holy Spirit for guidance and for wisdom to learn.
O come, Emmanuel, shall come to us with time at all.
For many years we have waited for his return. During this time, his message far and wide has spread. Prepare your hearts, for he will come with trumpet call to judge the living and the dead.
O come, Emmanuel, shall come to us with trumpet call.
Thank you.
Face towards you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.